The Environmentalist's Dilemma, Promise and Peril in an Age of Climate Crisis, written by Arno Kopetsky, narrated by Marvin Kay. Dedication for Kieran. 1. The Newest Normal. Trees, we know, are good. They support ecosystems and economies, scrub the sky clean with their leaves, and hold the earth together with their roots. This is especially valuable on steep mountainsides like those that rise above the city where I live. Vancouver used to be a logging town. The local forests were liquidated long ago, but the jagged range that forms our northern border flaunts an embarrassment of second-growth riches. I gaze at those green slopes every day from the room where I write. I'm staring at them right now. I'm thinking, how, despite trees' many fine qualities, the easiest thing to picture them doing is the one bad thing they can: catch fire. Trees have been doing a lot of that lately. From Australia to Siberia, the Pacific Northwest to the Amazon, this century has been one of ever bigger forest fires. The flames haven't yet reached Vancouver, but the smoke sure has. It blows in most summers now, usually in August or September, when wildfire season hits its stride, hiding our mountains behind a gray veil and reminding us how quickly a symptom can become a cause. The forests of British Columbia have gotten so flammable over the past 20 years that they've started to emit more carbon dioxide than they absorb. Hotter, drier summers are, of course, a factor. But a more poetic influence on our air quality index is the way 100 years of fire suppression has yielded the largest fires in recorded history. It used to be that indigenous communities throughout North America and much of the world lit small, controlled burns each spring and fall to remove the undergrowth that fuels these conflagrations. But we settlers suppressed those nations and their practices too. Now, here we are, on the cusp of a new fifth season that lands sometime between summer and autumn, and not just in Vancouver. Unpredictable, yet increasingly consistent, smoke season dominates our conversations whenever it arrives. It's novel and ominous and fleeting, the perfect conversational kindling. Imagine, we say, we're breathing in what used to be a forest, animals included, or simply, what a sunset. More people are dramatically impacted by forest fires each year through power outages, evacuation orders, incinerated homes, or even death. But it's also true that for most of us, life continues pretty much as usual during smoke season, just with more sore throats and fewer walks. We close the windows for a week or three until the wind shifts and the sun grows bright again. Then we return to our distractions, busy citizens of wealthy countries with no time to waste on things we can't control. Gradually, we forget about the strange predicament so briefly illuminated by that all-obscuring smoke. Things have never been so good for humanity, nor so dire for the planet. Consider the ledger. On one side is everything from democracy and global spread of literacy to modern dentistry, plumbing, and the light bulb. My wife happens to deliver babies for a living, a realm that offers a profound illustration of historical improvement. Pregnancy and childbirth killed roughly one of every 100 mothers prior to the Industrial Revolution. Today, it's one in 10,000 throughout the industrialized world. In Canada, a century ago, one in 5 children died before their 5th birthday. That's down to one in 200 today. For all those countries on Earth where mortality remains too high, change is coming fast. Between 2000 and 2017, global maternal mortality dropped by 38%, while under 5-child mortality was cut in half. This kind of progress isn't limited to reproductive health. You can track similar trends on practically any quantifiable aspect of human well-being. Gender equality, food security, and public education are spreading round the planet, as are access to medicine and the whole spectrum of a recent...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?